我哋读今日嘅讲道经文，系记载喺旧约嘅诗篇第一段系记载喺旧约诗篇133篇，跟住有两篇系新约嘅，系马太福音同埋罗马书。首先我读出诗篇嘅133篇，诗篇133篇，看啊，弟兄和睦同居，是何等的善，何等的美！这好比那贵重的油，浇在亚伦的头上，流到胡须，又流到他的衣襟；又好比黑门的甘露，降在锡安山，因为在那里有耶和华所命定的福，就是永远的生命。第二段是在马太福音18章20节。马太福音18章20节，因为无论在哪里有两三个人奉我的名聚会，哪里就有我在他们中间。跟住是在罗马书12章，罗马书十二章，首先是第五节，罗马书十二章第五节，我们这许多人在基督里成为一身，互相联络作肢体，也是如此。同一章是第18节，若是能行，总要尽力与众人和睦。今日讲到的正道的题目是合一的见证，而今日的讲员是我们英文堂的学员传道Luke Reese 弟兄。Luke 弟兄今日他讲到的题目就是叫做合一的见证。
Good morning, church. My name is Luke. I'm the student pastor of the English congregation. I'm married to Katrina, my lovely wife, who comes with us along to church. Her parents also go to our church, Uncle Howard and Auntie Candice. We have two lovely children, Caleb and Ezekiel. And unfortunately, my family at the moment has been quite sick, so we can't be with you today in person. But I hope to be with you soon. In fact, little Ezekiel has got COVID at the moment, so we certainly don't want to be sharing that with other people. So I come to you via video today as we talk about unity and why it is that we gather as a church. And it's interesting. Unity is one of those things that it's hard to think of something that we more desperately need in our culture and in our world now more than unity. In fact, we are more divided as a nation as we have ever been. We have got the most protests going on that we have seen that highlight certain topics, but also highlight the divide between the us and the them. The hate that we often see that we have towards other people and other groups. We are divided by race, by age, by gender, by sexuality, by identity, by sport, by family. In fact, you could almost pick anything. As humans, for some reason, we look for not the similarities in other people, but often the differences, and then push away from other people. Then, unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's an end in sight. Division and disunity is something that our world and the church has been struggling with since day dot. As soon as there was more than one person in this world, in the human race, we have struggled to find unity and be on the same page as one another. And believe it or not, the church should be and can be a place where unity and harmony and togetherness flourish. We are designed to show something different to this world, to the world around us, to reflect the unity that we see in the Trinity, in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, working together in perfect unity. The truth is, even though it may not seem like it at times, we gather together as a church, as one, in the name of Jesus, for that unity. And when we do that, anything is possible. When we are unified in Christ, anything is possible. Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Even when we can't see how God will work in us and through us, He's still going to do it. So why are we looking at unity today? Here's the big idea, and I give it away at the beginning. That way you can stay connected with me as we go through this. Christian unity is a testimony to an increasingly chaotic world. Our unity is our testimony. When we live in unity, the world sees it, desires it, and sees God in it. When you and I are unified together, when we are on the same page, seeking Christ out together, the world sees it and sees God in it. Can you hear how important that is? Unity is one of our greatest ways of showing God to the world. Even though our church, or the church in general, is supported to show this divine unity to the world, it can often be a place that is divided, that pushes others away, that gossips, that hurts one another. Church communities can be messy, but the goal is always unity. And as we jump into such a tricky subject, let's pray, seek God's guidance and His direction, and seek His heart in everything we do. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we jump into Your word today, as we jump into this topic on unity, Lord, I just pray that You would speak to us. Touch our hearts. Help us put aside anything that divides us, and help us cling to You and You alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As a church, what are some of the things that you think that you have in common with the people around you? Have a look at them. Some of them might look a little bit weird. They might look a little different. I know I certainly look a bit weird, this random Gwailo standing up the front on a video preaching to you today. What are some of the things that we have in common? You may say our faith, our desire to share the gospel with other people, our Christ-like love, our hope. These are just a few of the things that may come to mind. But some of the benefits of why we gather together in unity is also for fellowship, for teaching, for communion, and for prayer. These are all amazing things that the church has in common with one another, that unify us when we are together. But there is something even greater that we share when we're together. What do you think that is? What do we share? What's the greatest thing that we share when we are together? Now, if you've been to Sunday school, you'll know the answer. Jesus. 10 points if you guessed it. The thing that we share in common, no matter where we are or what we are doing, is Jesus. We see it in Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Think about that for a moment. When we gather and seek unity in the name of Jesus, not only for ourselves, but for Jesus, Jesus gathers with us too. He is present in that unity. He is there. This is not some kind of nice idea or just this thing that we say as Christians. It is truth. It is real. Jesus is with us. In fact, even though we're divided right now, He is with you and I here today. If that's not a good enough reason to pursue unity together, then I don't know what is. He is our source of unity, and He is also present in our unity. How amazing is it that we get Christ in our unity when we seek Him out? Jesus is both the source, the direction, and the glue of our unity. That we seek Him in His guidance as a church, not just as individuals. And think about this. It doesn't take an auditorium full of people. doesn't take 80 people meeting together on a Sunday. Unity in Christ, in His name, can happen when just two or more gather in His name. Over coffee, at a meal, at home together, going to the gym together, in a small group, at work prayer meetings, snowboarding together, which I love to do, at our church meetings, at our outreach events, anytime, anywhere, doing just about anything, Jesus is there. He is with us. It's so amazing. It should energize you, even though I'm as crook as it comes at the moment. Even as I say that, I feel energized because I know that Christ is with us when we seek Him out. There are so many opportunities for us to gather together and experience the presence of Christ. But again, we have to remember it happens in His name. So it's not about us. It's about Jesus. So the way that we get unity in our world is not simply by seeking out what I may want or what someone else wants, but it's about seeking out what God wants for us. So we've come up with a bit of a working definition of unity. Unity is seeking Jesus as we gather together, that He would be in and work through, excuse me, everything that we do in His name. Unity is seeking Jesus together. It's that simple. If you want to know how you can be more unified with the people around you, think about how can you seek out Jesus together more. Don't worry about your differences, your work differences, your cultural difference, your anything differences. All you need is one thing, and that is Jesus. When we unify ourselves in Christ, we get Him too. He is with us. Psalm 133 is a beautiful passage on unity, and we're going to check it out a bit deeper today. Psalm 133, if you read it with me, pop out your phone, your Bible, your iPad, whatever you might have. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard. Over the collar of his robes, it is like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has bestowed the blessings of life forevermore. What a beautiful passage. Harmony or unity among the people of God is a blessing to God the Father. And when we are in unity, we receive His blessing. So our unity gives blessing to God, and it receives then blessings from God. It is beautiful, and everybody can understand how amazing it feels when a family is unified in that way. When family aren't arguing, when there's no tensions, when there's no fights or hurts or anxieties or relational dynamics can often bring, all the messiness that family often has. We see here it's the same for God the Father, who watches over all of us in His heavenly throne. He desires us to be in unity with one another and with Him, and it pleases Him. The very end of Psalm 133, we learn that God bestows or commands His blessing over people when they live together in unity. How often have we said to other people, oh man, I wish God would bless me. Oh, I wish I had this particular blessing in my life. I wish God would bless me in a certain way, in a certain area. Well, in Psalm 133, we learn quite clearly that if we want God's blessing, we are to live in unity with one another. It almost sounds too simple. To get God's blessing, I need to live in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew Henry, a nonconformist minister and author who lived in the 1600s to 1700s, in his commentary on Psalm 133, he puts it beautifully. Where brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. God commands the blessing, man can but beg a blessing. Believers that live in love and peace shall have God of love and peace in them now. They shall shortly be with him forever. In the world of endless love and peace, may all who love the Lord forbear and forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven them. That first part of the quote there, where brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. God commands a blessing. Man can but beg a blessing. We might want to beg for blessings in our life from God, but when we are unified together as one, God demands a blessing into that unity. The psalm goes on to say that it is good for us to live in peace together. It not only brings delight to the community, but it is so pleasant. It is the anointing of oil running down Aaron's beard, in the same way as oil anointing and blessings in God's name. So the unity of people, of God, unity is like this rich perfume, making our worship pleasing to God. This anointing with oil symbolizes God's authorization and empowerment. It's a common symbol from the time that it was written. It's this empowerment of a king or some other kind of a representative, such as a priest, for divine service. It's the same ritual that set apart Aaron and his sons for priestly service that involved the pouring of oil on their heads and on their garments. So we have seen God commands a blessing in the place of unity. Christ is present in the place of unity, and the unity that we show as a community shows our world God. And our unity is like a precious oil, making us and our worship pleasing to God and to others. All things considered, this sounds like the place that I want to be. This is the kind of place that I want to dwell, the kind of unity that I want to be a part of. And I'm sure that you're feeling the same way. On one level or another, even in the hard times, we all desire unity. We want to feel a part of something. Well, that kind of begs the question, as brothers and sisters in Christ, what do we do when we feel divided? What should we do when we aren't feeling unified with other believers? How should we respond? These are important and very difficult questions. And honestly, if you've been at church long enough and you know that there is too much opportunity to feel divided, people rub up against each other and we often cause friction. We often feel divided. We feel out of sync with one another. For one reason or another. It may be disagreements, differences, or anything else that you might want to come up with. At times, we struggle. In the quote I shared from Matthew Henry, he says something very important. May all who love the Lord forbear and forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven them. Henry knew about being divided. He knew that it was one of the most powerful things we can often fall into, and the most powerful thing that we can offer one another is to seek harmony and unity. And to get that, he says, we need forgiveness. If someone hurts you or wrongs you, if someone is coming to mind even right now, would you prayerfully consider forgiving them? What would it take for you to extend forgiveness to them? Is the offense worth losing unity or harmony over? Forgiveness can be one of those things that we often want for ourselves. I want you to forgive me. But it's also one of those things that it's very hard to forgive other people. I remember in my 20s, thinking back on all the trouble that I had caused my mum and dad, the late nights wondering what I was doing, the police bringing me home every now and again. I hope that my parents have been able to forgive me for the stress and the trouble that I caused them. But the thing is, when I think about other relationships where people have wronged me, I know I have struggled to let go of that and forgive other people. We all want forgiveness, but often we struggle to give it to others. Forgiveness is a learning opportunity and a ministry opportunity for us to become more Christ-like. Because we forgive others, for God has forgiven us. We know how powerful it is that God has forgiven us, so we pass that on and we forgive other people. Even the legal system at the moment that we have in Australia has cottoned on to how important forgiveness and reconciliation is, how this restoration of relationships is so important. In fact, there's a system called restorative justice. I came across it while I've been working in rehabilitations and centres and in jails in Sydney. And in simple terms, it is a system of criminal justice that focuses on the rehabilitation of offenders through the reconciliation with victims and the community at large. The two parties come together seeking reconciliation. Rather than holding on to the energy of the injustice, rather than the punitive measures that we often throw out, that you wronged me so you deserve this, or you're bad and I'm good, the system seeks to restore the relationship and come to a common ground about how do we move forward. Even our world has cottoned on to how great it is. And the reason that it's so powerful, though, it's bigger than the criminal justice system or courts, is because forgiveness and restoration is who our God is. Forgiveness and restoration of relationships is who our God is. Our God has brought about reconciliation in our relationship with us and our sin nature, with the fall of Adam and Eve. As we know in and as we work in and towards unity as a church, we seek not only God's guidance, but we seek out God's example of how to do it. We remember the impact of the reconciliation of our relationship with God and how important that is. And so we pass that on to other people. He has forgiven our sins. And how many times should we forgive others? Not just 7 times, but 77 times. Matthew 18:22. That's how much. You may ask, though, what if your issue isn't with an overt offense that needs reconciliation or forgiveness? What if it's simply, I don't agree with them. I don't agree with the direction that they're going in. Or I don't agree with the leadership and cannot worship in harmony with you in church anymore. In this case, directions may include setting up a time to discuss, to ask questions, to seek clarity, and if needed, release and get God's direction. Release control and get God's direction in the circumstance. Letting go of any expectations, any judgments, any ideas of church that you have, and humbly accepting God's direction in the matter, not your own. seek to serve other people rather than being served by other people. Think about how you can uplift others, not just yourself. Church is not a space for others to please me. It's a space where I am to serve others because it pleases God. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. In other translations it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. When we are at peace with others and in unity with God's people, it brings opposites together, as we see in Psalm 133, symbolized by the Tor Hamon and in the rural north and the hill of Zion in the urban south. It would be a 55-hour walk from one to the other, or these days at least a 6-hour drive in most cars. For Hamon's Jew to fall in Zion, it would be a miracle. And so is the supernatural bond that brings people normally separated by culture, by race, by class, brings them together in the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows God's amazing power at work, not just to us, as we talked about at the beginning, but it shows it to the world. Again, we see that our unity is a witness to the world of how amazing God is. When we are in disagreement, in disharmony and disunity with one another, we are called to be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As we seek unity to help and break through any divisions, it is so important to remember that we are one. Even as a church, we have three congregations, very different people in each one, but we are one. We see it beautifully in Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that the largest division that existed in the early church was that of between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, between the Jews and the Greeks. But here we are told clearly, no. They are, and we are, one in Christ. We are one body, one people, unified in harmony to live in peace in Christ. That being in Christ is what defines us, so we can let go of any other labels or things that might separate us and be unified in our identity in Christ and not of things of this world. Not in your color of your skin or your hair or anything else that might be going on, but unified in Christ alone. Peace, harmony, unity, division, and community were all important subjects in the early church 2,000 years ago, as it is here for us today. I can't think of a New Testament book that doesn't deal with, in some fashion, with either the relationship of God or the relationship with each other and the unity that is struggled to obtain in that time. Paul point that we keep picking up on all these passages is that unity is not about us, it is about God. That life is not about us, it's about God. That church is not about us, it's about God. Our lives are not about us, it's about God. And when we as his people work towards that, we are in unity. Unity and harmony are worthy pursuits. And it's important to remember that at the end of the day, we are one in Christ. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, 1-5. As a prisoner in the Lord, then, I urge you to walk in a manner of the calling that you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and with diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, and there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity has one goal and one focus, and that is Jesus. So when we struggle as a church, or you might struggle within your small groups at church, we bear with one another, we preserve the unity, we love one another, and we be unified together through our bond in Christ, not anything of this world that we might cling to. Unity is God's best for us, and when we gather together, unity is in Christ. And we experience blessings when we're unified together. For me, like I said earlier, that is exciting. When I'm thinking, oh God, how can I be blessed in my life? God, please bless me. I just need to be unified with my other brothers and sisters, put aside myself and put them first. The church we know, especially over the last 3 years, is changing a lot. Numerous studies over the last few years have highlighted the decrease in those who identify as Christian. And even more concerning, there's been a decrease in church attendance from those who even identify as Christian. It said it is almost down 20%. To put that simply, there are less Christians and there are less Christians attending church. Isn't that scary? In our country, there are less Christians and less people attending church over the last 3 years. This is why it's so important that we gather together in unity, to show how great it is to other people. Is it any coincidence that our society has become more isolated, that there's been an increase in mental health problems, an increase in disconnection, an increase in the division between groups that want to cancel one another out, an increase in the fear of the other person, an increase in anger and in judgment, an increase in all this hate? But what's the antidote? What's the solution? Unity. As a church, we are asking you now to consider what unity would look like today. Simply put, think about as you go home today, what can you do today to step towards unity with your brothers and sisters? How can we help one another on this quest? And if you've been enjoying the unity that comes from being in Christ, maybe today is the day that you bring someone along, that you introduce someone else to the blessings that are found in the unity of Christ's followers. It's not something that you are called to keep to yourself. It's something that you are called to share with everybody. If you know how great the blessings are to be in unity with one another as Christian brothers and sisters, it's time to share it with those around you so that they too can be blessed and come into this one family that we have in Christ and experience how great that really is. So today, as we finish up and as you think about unity, think about in every aspect of your life, what is the next step you can take towards being unified with your brothers and sisters? Let's pray as a family. Heavenly Father, as we go throughout the rest of our week, Lord, help us be unified in the way in which we do everything here as a church. Help us to put others first and help us to put you first. Lord, if we struggle with self-centeredness or self-righteousness or self-seekingness, Lord, I pray that you would humble us, that you would point it out in our hearts so that we can bring it before you, hand it over to you, and be together in unity as one family, as one church, with one focus, which is you. Amen. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoy the rest of the service, the rest of your weekend. Again, sorry I cannot be there with you today, but I will see you soon. Love to see you soon. Bye.